Revelation 18, and I just want to read this one verse, and then we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians 11. But it tells you in Revelation 18 there, at the bottom of that verse, it says that at the paragraph, it's the semicolon. It says, "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Okay, so you see there that Satan in Revelation 12 verse 9, the Bible says he's called the devil and Satan. So his name is Lucifer. You read that over in Isaiah. Okay, so he's called the devil and Satan because that describes what he does. Satan, that's an adversary. The devil, that has to do with his character, the fact that he's a deceiver, he's an adversary, that's what he does. And so he's called the devil. He has many names all through the Bible. He's Baal and all these things. So you have people nowadays, they don't understand enough about what the Bible says about worship. So oftentimes you have these worship services and they think they're worshiping the Lord when they're really worshiping the devil.
Right.
And that's why the Bible tells you over in 2 Corinthians 11, what I'm gonna use this as another thing today to talk about some of this deception. And one reason why I'm jumping out of this verse by verse so much into this is I want you to see some of these things that are going on. I talk to people on a weekly basis and I see some of this stuff. And as you see this deception, it's going to literally culminate into the fact by the time you get to Revelation, everybody is deceived by these sorceries. And you say, well, how would that apply to us today? How's he working today? But the same thing. He's a deceiver. He's always been a deceiver. He started off a deceiver. And some things, the devil works in a lot of similar ways. And one of his major ways is deception. He started off in Genesis 3. He deceived Eve. Okay, well then it just moved right on into, he just gets worse and worse and worse. And so, you talk about these worship services, look at 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse number 3. It says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds..." That is the area of battle today, is the mind.
Right.
It's this thing's going to tie in with the Mark study and with the Acts study. Your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Now, if you run that reference, corrupted, I like to take a verse and run each reference all through the Bible. You know what that Bible tells you about Satan over in Ezekiel? Said his wisdom was corrupted. Okay, so you know what the world loves to do is give you a whole bunch of wisdom and then corrupt it. That's why one of the sayings that matches much of the Bible is education without salvation often leads to damnation.
Right.
So you got a lot of people and they're real educated and they get educated and they get all these terms and all these things that go on, and then if they don't use it correctly for God and according to the Bible, they deceive other people. Well, you know what? You say, well, all these sorcerers, you know what sorcerers did? They were in contact with evil spirits. And then those evil spirits would use those people to deceive other folks. So you know what happens is people, they will take their human spirit, and I've got verses for human spirit over in Corinthians, and they'll learn a whole bunch of stuff, and knowledge puffeth up. And whenever they get way up, they're up there in the devil's realm, and that knowledge, he was sitting on the tree of knowledge. You know what happens? They get in there and they start telling all this stuff that has nothing to do with Scripture. People don't turn to the verses, nothing else. And all of a sudden they're going by these buzzwords. And it's amazing they call them buzzwords, you know, because unclean spirits or devils are pictured by flies over there, Beelzebub, you know, and stuff like that in the Bible. And I think it's interesting how that stuff ties together. But what I'm saying is you hear these terms like the Force. Well, you say, where's this term from Star Wars come from? That's Eastern mysticism.
Yeah.
Force. You know, you hear a lot of this teaching now has got to do with power, but it's false power. All right, so you got this thing right here where people are being deceived. And we say, well, I don't see any sorcerers, but the same principle is still applying. Watch what it says over here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Well, you know what a lot of people do? They're preaching Jesus, but it's another Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. That is one of the biggest troubles right there. There's a lot of people who say Jesus and they say things in these worship services. And I'm telling you, man, I thank God for people who appreciate worship like what we're doing here. We come together and the Lord Jesus Christ gets the preeminence. The Word of God is magnified. And it's not about a show, because I'm telling you something, man, it's getting more and more and more. You talk to a lot of people and we invite them to church. You know, the first things they say, what kind of programs do you have? That's one of the first questions people ask when we invite them to our church. Oh, well, we're just a small, loving church family, and we got folks. Well, y'all don't have any praise music down there? No, we don't. You know, it's almost like it kind of gets you a little bit aggravated, because you know what people want? They want to come to a show. Instead of coming and learning the Word of God so you can apply it to your life daily. See, look at those places. You'll get there and you'll see them. They will talk about Jesus some. But it's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
All right, and watch what it says. Whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit. See, the thing is, you got to understand, people talk about, well, the Spirit was there, and the Spirit. Well, there's all kinds of spirits. Was it the Holy Spirit of God, or was it the Spirit that the Bible says, the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God? Okay, now, as I'm getting this, I'm going to jump around a little bit. I've done some research. I stayed up a little bit, probably too long, but I was looking at this thing because we're talking about Acts on Wednesday night. So I just typed up and said, okay, sermons on the book of Acts. Alright, well, you get this one guy named Greg Locke, L-O-C-K-E, and he's the author of a book called Cast It Out, and he's got my movie called Come Out in Jesus' Name. Alright, at 9:16 in this one thing, at 9 minutes and 16 in, he says, they saw verse by verse, this is the ministry of Jesus. Okay, so he's going through there and he's saying, hey, we're supposed to be casting out devils. We're supposed to be speaking tongues and all this type of stuff. That is not what God's doing today. That had to do with... That's why I try to teach you from this chart where you can see that thing. That over in here, these 12 apostles were sent out by the Lord. And the Bible said they had these signs, Mark 16, confirming the Word with signs following.
Right.
We don't have to have any signs. So you know what's going on? You got people speaking by false spirits, using the Word of God,
right,
talking about Jesus, and that's going on. And let me tell you something. They've got a little bit of truth, otherwise they wouldn't be able to get the lie across.
Right.
Don't think they don't have a little bit of truth. Because I've heard sermons before and they'll say some true things in there. And like I said, they'll use some of the same terminology, but they mix it in with Eastern mysticism and they'll start telling you, you need to have the power to do this, that, and other thing. You know what the devil's telling you, or the Lord's telling you through His Word about the devil here, is you better guard your mind. Because the devil fights in the realm of your mind, and he'll try to get you to believe the wrong thing so that you'll do the wrong thing. Okay, so that's like lost people. Lost people don't have the same protection you do. You got the protection by the power of God. The gospel is called the power of God in Romans chapter 1. Well, once you've got that, the power of God is able to protect you. But even somebody who's saved, we can believe lies, and even though you're a saved person, you can believe things, because if the devil don't, if he don't have your soul, he wants to have your mind so you can do some of the craziest stuff out there. So what am I saying? I'm saying that as this thing we're seeing the revelation, we've got to see some stuff too about what the Bible says about deception and what's going on, because this thing's trying to fall on me. But I want you to see here that in that ministry right there, they literally did have these signs, but they were kingdom signs. And that's why you say, how do these people get confused on that? They're going right to the Bible and they're taking verses that don't belong to them, that God's not doing for right today. He's not doing these things. So they're actually standing up in front of people preaching a Jesus from the Bible that's not operating that way right now.
Right.
You say, how is it another Jesus? In his earthly ministry, he's not doing things right now in his heavenly ministry that he did in his earthly ministry. And if you don't get that thing, it will mess you up in your Bible doctrine. That's why he's trying to tell you here, you can receive another spirit. There's all kinds of spirits out there. It says, what you have not received, and another gospel. Now you got the same thing where people are preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and they will get in there and say, you know, we're bringing in the kingdom, bring it. No, you're not. We can't do that. So we have to be careful about where we're at in the scripture and what's going on, because you say, well, how would a sorcery apply to us today? That is, sorcery has to do with magic, witchcraft, and evil spirits. So they got operation in this dispensation, so we're supposed to know about it. And these things right here tell you, let me show you something else about what they do. Jump down to verse number 13. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Be careful about people who tell you they're apostles. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See, he transforms himself into something he's not. Why? He's not an angel, he's a cherub.
Right.
Okay, it says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers. So the Bible tells you from the Word of God itself that he does have ministers. And what do? They use good words and fair speeches. You don't hear his ministers preaching on sin. I've got a guy right here. I listened to a documentary. This guy's name is Joseph Prince. He says, according to Joseph Prince, all of life's problems are a result of negative thinking instead of sin.
There you go.
Let me tell you what problems in the world come from, contrary to what he said. Sin.
Right.
If you've got a preacher that will not preach on sin, number one, you can't preach the gospel without preaching on sin, because the Bible says Christ died for our sins,
right,
according to the Scripture. You have to, if you're going to preach biblically, you have to mention sin.
Right.
Okay, and then how do... Now, here's another thing, too. When someone preaches on sin, you can't just preach on sin like a lot of the legalists do, so they stop there. Oh, watch out. Devil knocked that chart over. He didn't want that thing up. but you know what happens? You got this thing where they'll just preach on sin, and then not tell you how to get out of it. That's one thing I love about the Lord Jesus Christ. You get over there in Ephesians chapter 4, and he says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work, laboring with his hands, that he may have give need to them that need. Okay, you got all these things. Let him that lie, he said, tell that speak truth with his neighbor. He tells you what to replace the sin with is, okay, you got a sin here, replace that with the righteous walk of the Lord according to the Word of God, instead of just saying, well, I'm just quitting everything. What you have, you got a society now where you either got false ministers telling you nothing about sin, or you got other ministers going too far the other way, and all they do is talk about sin without telling you what to do about the sin that you are doing. But the Word of God gives you a balance there and says, okay, yes, you sin, but here's the answer to it. You know what's one thing that's wrong with our society today? They see all these problems and all these things, but they, instead of killing the spider, they just fix the cobwebs and say, well, we need to throw a little money at this and throw a little money at that and all that type of stuff. I was talking to a guy, a truck driver, and I'm sure he heard this somewhere, but I really like this. He said, look, all this talk about aliens and all this stuff today, he said, I know there can't be aliens. And I said, well, how come? He said, don't you know by now, if there was somewhere out there was some aliens, we would have sent them some foreign aid by now. he said, but I'm just saying, you got to keep your perspective right. Some of this stuff is getting so ridiculous, y'all. The Word of God will keep you grounded.
Yeah.
I like the fact that being around somebody who's reading their Bible and working folks who are reading their Bible and trying to apply it to their life, they don't let some of this extreme, because the flesh is prone to extremes, get into their daily life and mess them up. You know what this stuff targets? Targets people who are looking for something. And instead of finding it in the Word of God, they find it in the signs and all this type of stuff. I like knowing that I don't have to find anything out there, because the devil can trick my eyes.
That's
But I can trust what I read in the Word of God in the right place of where it's at. And I know He's got ministers. And it says, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. See, they teach a certain kind of righteousness, but it's a human goodness. They will teach you all kinds of rules and all kinds of regulations and how to dress and all this type of stuff. Look, the Bible just says dress modest. I've listened to some of these what so-called fundamentalist sermons, and all a guy knows what to do is get up there and tell somebody's wife how to dress. Why don't you just mind your own business, fella? That's what I want to say. They come up with all this stuff, and who's supposed to have a beard, who's not supposed to have a beard. I'm going to tell you something. Just for me, I like having a beard. If I didn't have to wear that respirator every day, I'd grow me a big old beard. Y'all seen me warm one. I just can't grow one right now. But I'm just saying, you don't have a list of rules and regulations. This, the Bible is supposed to keep you grounded. And I'm telling you that sorcery is there to trick you. Look at Acts chapter number 13. And so one reason why we do what we do as far as comparing Scripture with Scripture in the Bible is I truly know, according to the Scripture, the Word of God will steer you the right way if we'll stick to it and just see what the Bible says for itself. But that's like I was looking at this thing after I go over Acts 13, if I got a little time, I'm going to give you this article out of Charisma magazine, and you won't see some messed up doctrine, man. That Charisma magazine is way out there in left field. And I want to give you some things here in a minute of what they say God's voice is and what Satan's voice is, and show you it's literally, they got it backwards. They just literally got it completely backwards. How the flesh will see something and say, man, that sounds pretty good. I bet the devil would talk like that. And you get to looking at the Scripture and it's exactly opposite. See, the truth is, the Bible says, the Lord even said, that false ministers and false teachers are wolves in sheep's clothing. But oftentimes somebody's telling you the truth according to the Word of God will be a sheep in wolf's clothing. You'll think it's a wolf, but he's really a sheep trying to warn you about the wolves. It just seems like, uh-oh, that don't sound right. Because I tell you, babies, we got that sweet little old girl. She's just pretty, she can be. And she's asleep over now, so that's good. But you know what babies do? Babies don't go by the truth of what's going on. They go by your tone of voice more than anything. They don't know what you're saying. So you know what's happened? The Apostle Paul is that I'm having to address that carnal bunch at Corinth. And he said, I'm having to speak to you as babes. He's having to go in there and say, now look, we're going to have to, and he's just having it, because if he come in there and said, now look here, this is what the Bible says, they're going, man, is he mad? Well, you know what the world does today? If you tell them the truth, Paul said, hey, he said, am I therefore becoming your enemy because I tell you the truth? The truth is the truth no matter which way it's said. But good words and fair speeches, these sorcerers today, I mean, they're devil's minister. They know how to say things. They're trained in how to speak. They know, they're polished. They know exactly what to say. They know all, they've trained. Look, they've taken several years of psychology and they know all this stuff to say. And people say, wow. And you know what the deal is? They just told a great big old lie and don't even match the Word of God. And it's going on a daily basis. Acts 13, it says in verse number 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John their minister. And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. So it's telling you, he's a certain sorcerer, he's a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the Word of God. But Elymas, or maybe that's how you say it. I can say it however I want to, I guess. The sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. You see what they do? In the context, the sorcerer, his goal is to turn you from the faith. So it says, I can't even read this morning, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety. Remember we said subtlety, we saw that in 2 Corinthians 11. And all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. Hold on, I thought he said his ministers, see, Satan said his ministers were ministers of righteousness. It's not the righteousness of Christ. It's your own human righteousness is what they preach. Without preaching, you cannot live the Christian life on your own. You have to let the Lord Jesus Christ live His life in and through you. But they teach in such a way where they say, you can do this. Oh man, you can have power to do this. You can't do that stuff without the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, on the inside, you've got so much good on the inside. If you just search that divine spark, all that stuff is mysticism. The Bible says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I have nothing good to offer God. The only good I have to offer God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when I yield to Him, He can live in and through me, and that will be acceptable to the Father. But if I just come up with my own rules and say, I think this will be a good thing, I think that'll be a wonderful thing right there. Yeah, if it don't match the Bible, it don't matter what you're doing. It's not acceptable to God. The only thing that's acceptable as God is the righteous work of the Lord Jesus Christ when a believer yields to the Lord in faith. What's faith? Faith is simply this. I believe what God said.
Right. Amen.
People say, well, I have faith, and they'll tell you all this stuff is spooky. No, it's faith in the Word of God. So it says right here, it says, thou, let's see, all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to watch what it says? Pervert the right ways of the Lord. There's a lot of perverts out there, spiritual perverts. You know what? We don't pervert the Word of God like 2 Corinthians. I think it's maybe I got to read 2 Corinthians 2:17. They pervert the Word of the Lord. Well, you know what people do? They'll just take the Word and they'll come across a verse and see, they say, well, that don't match my tradition and my theology. You know what they do? They'll change the Word of God to match what they want it to say. And that's the devil. The Lord said, thou shalt not eat of it. And the devil comes up and says, yea, hath God said.
That's right.
Now, you know what goes on with his ministers today? Hey, look, I'm not even saying, look, a saved person can teach false doctrine, but there's a difference in that thing. There's a difference. There's intentional teaching of false doctrine and unintentional teaching of false doctrine. Y'all may have heard the story about the girl over in California or wherever it was. And I guess it stays dry out there or whatever. Well, there's a spider and she lights the hairspray, you know, and she tries to kill the spider with the lighter and the hairspray and sets the whole woods on fire. Well, she was trying to kill a spider. She didn't mean to set the woods on fire. But then you got some people out there who literally, they set out to burn out up all... That's those... What they call, we call them fire bugs when we kids, but pyro... Is that what it is? Okay. So you got intentional teaching of false doctrine, and some people do that. And some people will unintentionally teach it, and then they learn something better, and they say, hey, I need to correct that and go on. I've done the same thing before. I've been reading that Bible and say, oh, man. Oh, man. And you know what? I was going by stuff that I've just been told this. When you get to checking stuff, and you don't find it in the Bible. You know, I told you before, like my buddy used to say, every tub sits on his own bottom, you know, and that's in the Bible. I thought, well, it's got to be in Isaiah or something somewhere. Watch what it says. It says, pervert the right ways of the Lord, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. You better be careful with that phrase. People say, I got the hand of God on me. This is in a bad way, right here.
Yeah,
you know, Elisha said had the hand of the Lord on him. You can either have it in a good way or a bad way. Some people say, well, so-and-so got the hand of God on him. Maybe like we make this old subtle guy right here teaching for the devil, full of mischief and perverting the right ways of the Lord. There's a lot of people, yeah, they got the hand of the Lord, I'm all right, but it's not in a good way. That's why you have to check the terminology there. It says, and thou shalt be blind. See there? A lot of people... He's got the hand of God on, maybe blind as a bat coming in backwards. Couldn't find a bowling ball in a bathtub, and people's just talking about how the hand of God's on them, you know. It says this. It says, not seeing the sun for a season, and immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Just like a little baby. Okay, I'm just saying that according to the Bible, some of this stuff is going on today, and the Bible says in Romans 8:9, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. If you don't have the Spirit of God, first of all, you're not saved. Because whenever you get saved, you get the Spirit. But at the same time, I've told you before, the Bible teaches you when you trust the gospel of the grace of God, your soul gets saved. But your body does not get saved. That's why the Apostle Paul had to say in the book of Romans chapter 7, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, my God, through the Lord Jesus Christ."
Right.
Okay? One day I'm going to be delivered from this flesh body. So this body has to be in subjection by the Word of God, because this body does not know what to do. So even if you're saved, you've got one or two things you can yield to. You can yield to the Holy Spirit of God, or you can yield to all these other false spirits out there.
Right.
You got a human spirit and stuff like that. So that's going on.
That's right.
But lost people, they operate by the spirit of disobedience.
Yeah.
You say, what about these good folk? There's a lot of good people that's lost. Well, they got human goodness. But most of the time, lost people, even the good that they do, they're doing it for selfish motives. To glorify the flesh.
That's right.
Okay, why? Because it makes them feel good. Soothes their conscience and stuff like that. So you got to look at the Bible and say, all right, what does the Word of God say? And you got this thing going on now where, and it's not just in charismatic circles. I have a lot of people that say, well, the charismatics, this, that, and other. They go by experience. You know, you people, I've heard them say, you can't argue with experience. Or they'll go by circumstance. Now, one thing you'll hear that even people that we know, a lot of Bible believers, well, there's an open door here and an open door there. If you don't check it by the Word of God, you don't know what kind of door is going on there. Why? Because a lot of times the devil can, a lot of people, if you check that Bible right there, the devil can lead you into things too. If you go by, see, all that is circumstance, things that I can see, that's going by sight. If you're just saying, well, this happened, so that must be a good thing. That is not necessarily so.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that get prosperity from the devil. You got to check and say, okay, if I get prosperity, is this going to be something I'm going to use for the Lord? Or is it going to be something maybe the devil's keeping me from being blessed? It's all through the Bible. On one of David's best days back over there in the Bible, David was having such a good day. He was sleeping late. He didn't have to go to battle. He had people doing things for him. And he gets up there, and before long, he's committed adultery and murder all in one whack. You say, well, what goes on with that? A lot of times people say, well, I'm getting prosperity, and when before long it leads you into all kinds of things. And thank God, God will help us, because I know with me, I'm sitting here telling y'all as the person doing the speaking this morning that I have done things that's idiotic and against the Bible. But you know what the trouble was? When I didn't check it with the Word of God, that's where I messed up at.
Right.
And how did I get help out of it? I went back to the Bible and I knew, okay, how do I correct this behavior? I go back to the Word of God, and the Word of God tells me what to do in it. Now here's another thing you have to understand too. It says gut feeling. They go by gut feelings and all this type of stuff. So you got all this. Well, this is what happens. This is another thing that I see all times, especially in your legalistic circles. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ will convict you of your sin? Well, he started out over there, and the devil, and he leads Adam and Eve to sin. God told them what they did. But the devil will convict you of somebody else's sin. He'll say, he'll lead you to say, well, it was the woman. It was so-and-so's fault. You know what I like about the Lord? When I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I need help with this right here, He will help you with it, and He don't keep on reminding you of it. You know how you tell if somebody else is operating by that false spirit? If you've already went to God with it, and you're getting cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word of God, you're getting help from God, and your own self oftentimes, the devil will use your own human spirit and keep on taking you back and taking you back. That's looking back. You cannot press toward the mark if you keep looking back. That's one thing I've got to warn you about. A lot of this stuff, you know what they'll do? They'll have these church services and say, well, you did this and you did this other thing, and they'll just put you in bondage and bondage and bondage. Look, I'm forgiven of that thing. The Lord Jesus Christ forgiven that. Now I've went to Him in His Word, and the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 7:1, I can cleanse myself from the filth of the flesh. How you do that? By saying, okay, I recognize and I'm repenting of this thought pattern that I was in right here. I'm going to take the Word of God and apply it to my walk and my life, and I'm going to get in here, and the Lord will cleanse my walk by applying His Word to that situation. That's how you get your help. You know, a lot of people, they'll just talk about, well, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for this other thing, never do anything about it.
That's right.
That don't do any good. The Lord wants you to apply His Word to your life, and that will cleanse your walk. That'll cleanse your way. You see, we've gotten away from the simplicity because people got these 12-step programs. They got these with 7 steps to this, this, this. No, the step is walk by the Word of God. Walking in the Word of God. That's the step program right there. Okay, what does the Word of God say? Okay, and it tells you over here in Acts 13 all about this. Now, I want to go somewhere else too. Look at, if you will, look in your Bible at Romans chapter 1. And then, man, how did I do that? I didn't even get into the God's voice and Satan's voice. I just talked too much. Let's see, Romans 1. I want you to see this, though, for yourself. I made reference to it earlier, but I want you to see this. People talk about power of God, power of God. I hear this all the time, especially around, some of the circles we've grown up in. They talk about the power of God all the time, and then they don't ever give you a verse about what the power of God is. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." This is as simple as you can get, I think. For it, what does it refer to? The gospel of Christ is the power of God and the salvation to the elect. To everyone. See, Brother Mike knew what I was going with that right there. People say, well, it's everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Yeah. Now, that right there tells you, that's one of the things you need to say about the power of God. When you trust the gospel, the grace of God, you have access to the power of God. And you know what you have now? You have the ability to say no to sin.
That's right.
See, that's the trouble with this world. These people, they're taking them to all these alcohol things, and they're taking them over here and these drug rehabs and all this type of stuff. Let me tell you, all they're going to do is stop that and start something else.
That's right.
They'll not be addicted to that, and they'll trade. All they're doing is trading addictions. And I hate to see that, because we got folks that we love and they know they need help. But let me tell you how to get them the help they need: through the power of God. That way, if they do get to the place where they don't yield to the Bible and they don't grow in the Lord, at least their soul's saved. Why? Because look, everybody who gets saved has access to be able to say no to that thing. But I'm going to tell you something. When someone gets saved, the world and the flesh and the devil, that whole program is orchestrated to keep them from the knowledge of God and the power of God. So you thought it was hard to find time to read your Bible beforehand. You wait till you start getting closer to the Lord and start finding truths in that Bible and stuff. Man, it's going to be things come up in your life, and you're going to be busy, and you're going to have to fight for time and stuff, because the devil deals with the mind, and he does not want you to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, well, you say, well, I got saved. Okay, well, the next step is to come to the knowledge of the truth, and his goal is to keep people from coming to the knowledge of the truth. You say, how come people aren't interested in truth right now? And all this that we talk about rightly dividing here, because I want y'all to see these things. Because he don't want you to come to the knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
Because he wants people to be deceived. Because he knows ultimately to get his program to succeed, he's going to have to deceive people. And that sorcery there is a part of that.
Yes.
All right. Now here's another thing I don't like. You got a lot of these people, and they say they're Bible believers, and they'll believe the Bible in a lot of places, and they'll say, well, you know, over there in Revelation where it says the sorcerers, it says it really means pharmakia. And it's drug. No, it's sorceries.
Right.
The Bible is correct, because when you need to get the Bible definition of the Bible, because it has to do with magic and witchcraft. And you say, well, how's that? You notice all these movies today talking about magic. And that's like, even we all grew up seeing Disney and that little mouse and all that stuff with the little wands and all. It's magic. It gets you fascinated with it. Hopefully, in the devil's eyes, you won't go by the Bible. You'll start getting in that mystic stuff, and everything will get weird, mystical, and you say, we got all these powers on the inside of us, and I just think all these positive thoughts, and if I can just think positive, I'll bring things into my life. Man, you got a hole big enough to drive a Mack truck through in your brain if you think some of that stuff. You can think positive all you want to, but there's nothing wrong with thinking positive as long as it's the positive according to the Bible.
That's right.
I can think more positive than anybody you know, knowing this right here. I'm going to glory one day. I know I'm saved. These are things that are positive in my view. Not bringing a Cadillac into my life. What good is that going to do? Give me a $1,200 a month payment? I mean, you know, you got people wanting to bring themselves into bondage. They want all this stuff. Now look, it's no sin in having things as long as the things don't have you. But I know this. There are people who have a whole lot of things that they have told me life was a whole lot simpler when they had less things and less worries.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is very few people in this world that can handle all those worries. Some of them seem like they're handling on the surface, but really deep down, it weighs down on you.
Yes.
And I'm just saying, simplicity in your life will help you. Just live according to the Word of God and enjoy what you do have. You have a lot, okay, enjoy. Have a little bit, enjoy. Paul said, I've learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. If people just be content. Okay, well, so-and-so, look, I know folks that have all... I've met this friend the past few months, and we worked together some. He's got all kinds of stuff. And man, we've been talking about the Bible and stuff, and he said, man, I think it was simpler back when I had... You know, like I said, I don't want to give it away who it is, but he was telling me all this stuff, and he said, I've kind of got my life so complex, but now... He's got basically so much now. He's like, well, I don't know what to do. I said, look, I don't have no. Look, you just read the Bible. I'm not going to give it. But I told him this right here. If nothing else, you can get in the Bible and believe the promises of God and ask God to give you strength and wisdom to be able to handle all these things according to the Word of God. The trouble is, if the devil can get somebody who's blessed a lot like that right there and get them all confused, he knows he can drag down a whole bunch of people. So you know what? Best thing to do is, okay, well, whether I got a little bit or a lot, I've learned how to abound, and I've learned how to be abased. And you know what that'll do? That'll give you a simplicity in life. And the old saying is, you can't con... can't con a con man, but it's something else out there that has to do with, if somebody don't have that in them anyway, they're not going to fall for it anyhow. The best thing to do is let the Word of God let us have a pure walk so that the devil, we don't have a itch the devil can scratch. As long as you're wanting to live a simple life and he comes in there and tempts you with all this stuff, he says, I don't want that anyway. I've got all I need right here in my simple life. And if the Lord wants me to have more, you know, I'll just walk with him and just see what kind of path leads down. But if not, I'm going to enjoy my everyday simple walk with the Lord. And that'll keep you from deception. Lord willing, we'll get some of this other stuff later, but at least we got a few verses in. Let's pray.